This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We got some Steelers talk for you. Mini camp is this week, but wanted to ask Ray Fittipaldi, one of our great Steelers beat writers, about who's going to be the leader and the face of this offense. It's not as easy as a question as you think, as just picking the starting quarterback that you think is going to start. Well, we'll talk about that. And we got some Pirates talk with Andrew Destin as they are actually in the thick of the wild card chase in the National League. That and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldi, and we're here coming to you on a Monday on the North Shore Drive podcast. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. And this show is, as always, is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you're gonna see it to the best bar because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. We'll have more on Mike's Beer Bar later. Ray, now that we're back from the week, again, mini camp is coming, but I think that while we're talking about the Steelers offense finding an identity, and Broderick Jones talked about that at the Thursday OTAs, and he said he does feel like they know what their identity is, and that's something that's good, right? Because they didn't have an identity when we were asking them that question in November, which was, you know, 11 games into last season. But at the same time, I paused to think about this, and I think, who is going to be the leader, the captain, or the face of this offense that kind of galvanizes everyone? You always need someone that can kind of be that person that pushes the group forward. And typically, like last year, the Steelers made it Kenny Pickett. But when Kenny Pickett was benched, it was kind of interesting to see what happened. You know what happened there, and the leadership dynamics were different. Now, some might say it's just going to be Russell Wilson, but there's conversations about what if Justin Fields replaces Russell Wilson, and is that something you think the Steelers are going to do, especially with Russell Wilson? You know, many people look at this is a one and done type of year thing for him, where he's going to be here for a year, then back on the free agency market. Do you think Russell Wilson is just automatically going to be the face of the Steelers offense, or is it going to be one of the linemen, one of the playmakers? Is it going to be, you know, Najee Harris or Pat Freiermuth or anyone like that?
Yeah, listen, Chris, I think it almost has to be Russell Wilson. You know, Mike Tomlin came out and named him the starter after, you know, Justin Fields was acquired in that trade. And if you look at the way the Steelers have kind of, you know, cultivated leadership during Mike Tomlin's era, it doesn't have to be a singular captain. So, you know, last year it could have been Kenny Pickett and Najee Harris, but Mike Tomlin didn't do that. And there's a little bit of a misnomer about how the captaincy voting works. You know, the players vote on it, but if Mike Tomlin wants you to be a captain, you're going to be a captain. He'll just come out and name you a captain. So, I don't think Najee Harris is up for that role this year, especially given his contract situation. You know, Pat Freiermuth is entering the last year of his contract. He's a good player. He's a leader, but he's more of a quiet leader. I think I could say the same thing for Isaac Seumalo. So, you know, not by default, but I think Russell Wilson is in the midst of earning this. You know, he's been a full participant throughout all the OTAs. He is scheduled to be at minicamp as well, and he's doing all the right things to put himself in position to be that guy. And it's not that I think the Steelers are devoid of leadership after him. I just don't think there's a slam dunk candidate to be a captain for anyone other than Russell Wilson.
And that's kind of where I'm at, is that part of this is also Russell Wilson. If there's anybody on this offense that that's done it, he's the guy, right? He's won a Super Bowl. You know, he's been a 9-time Pro Bowler. And you can say Isaac Seumalo has plenty of experience in his time with the Eagles. But Seumalo is also not exactly a vocal leader guy, right? Like, he's not exactly a guy that – he's more about the quiet soldier that kind of leads the pack by example. And you need guys like that. But you also need vocal leaders. Like, the defense has those guys. You know, Cam Hayward is a vocal leader. You know, like Minkah Fitzpatrick's a vocal leader. TJ Watt's a leader. I don't know how vocal he is, though. Like, you know, Alex Highsmith, I think he's a leader by example. You know, he's not one of the top, you know, top three players, but he's a guy that everyone can look at and say, that's how you want to play, and that's the effort that you need to give. And I think Seumalo falls more in that category, where he's maybe not as vocal as far as being a leader there, but he's a leader by example. But Russell Wilson, he's been a leader. He's been a guy that the teams have been built around. You look at, you know, all the fallout from players that played with him in Denver and saying all the things he did for them. I do think it kind of lends itself to him being that guy. And I also think that after what the Steelers went through last year, especially if there's a structure to the offense, I actually think this team could be better suited to absorb a shift in quarterbacks if it has to happen in the middle part of the season. Like, you know, again, if this offense is truly about running the football, dominating the line of scrimmage, setting that tone, and the quarterback play is more so, hey, just take the open read, don't try to be Superman, and play as part of the system, and the quarterback is more of an interchangeable thing. If Justin Fields can play to that system and work that as well as Russell Wilson, I don't think it will be a hiccup in this offense. Because you look at last year, and when Mason Rudolph came in and Kenny Pickett was out, that's when the offense started clicking last year. And again, that's not a slight to Kenny Pickett, you know, for that change. But I just think that this offense, I think the people that, especially guys that have been here and saw that, like Broderick Jones was there last year. He was part of that. Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens, all the Calvin Austin, all those guys have been part of that. I think that this team could be suited to handle a switch like that, even if Russell Wilson came in the year as a captain. And I also think Russell Wilson could handle it from his own ego standpoint.
Yeah, listen, as a byproduct of what you just said, I think, listen, there are going to be 53 professional football players in that locker room, and they are going to have the attitude that they're going to rally around whoever is behind center, whether it's Russell Wilson, Kyle Allen, or Justin Fields. I mean, they just did it last year. You mentioned their most successful stretch of the season came with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. So they're going to rally around whoever is in there. They're going to rally around adversity. Just look at the playoff run that they made last year. No one was thinking they were going to do that after they lost to the Cardinals and the Patriots in back-to-back weeks. But it happened because they rallied. And it wasn't because Kenny Pickett was the captain. Kenny Pickett wasn't even around the team at that point. I mean, he was around the team, but, you know, he was injured and he wasn't providing, you know, leadership on the field in any capacity. So I think that's maybe an overlooked, you know, part of all of this. You know, this is professional sports. You're out there to do a job and you're going to do the job to the best of your ability. It doesn't matter who the captain is, that, you know, you're going to rally and you're going to find, you know, find footing for the team that makes the team go forward. And I think that the Steelers are in position to do that again this year, if it does come to that. I don't think it will. I think Russell Wilson is set up to have a pretty good year, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. I want to get to another question about the defense with Ray. We'll do that in a second here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you, the show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When I say it's the best bar in Pittsburgh, I absolutely mean that, because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're switching new ones out every single day. So all those 80 taps that you see when you walk into Mike's Beer Bar, there's most likely a few of them that are new that you have that have never been in there before, because there's so many many different brewers available here in the Pittsburgh area that are always producing new brews. And Mike is always on top of that. Plus, they have amazing seating where you can either sit outside in the amazing North Shore of Pittsburgh, right across the street from PNC Park, look at the Pittsburgh skyline, or you can sit inside and enjoy one of their 20 televisions that can be tuned in to whatever sporting events you want, whether you want to watch the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, the Pirates, whether they're home or away, or you want to check out the Olympics are going to be coming this summer. They'll be able to host them there too, and you can also be able to watch anything from the USA cricket team that pulled off a big win over this past week. There's a lot of different things you can do at Mike's Beer Bar, including enjoy their steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every time you cut off a piece, you press it into the stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. Go there today. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, I wanted to ask you this question. We got to talk to Joey Porter Jr., and you can see that video on the Post-Gazette Sports YouTube channel. We had the full scrum there. But one thing, he praised up something, you know, the things that Dante Jackson has done. He's talked about how he's already kind of mentoring Joey Porter Jr. He's like, hey, I remember him from his LSU days. Like, I have a lot of respect for that guy. But he also talked up Cameron Sutton. He's like, hey, I remember him when he was here and my dad was a coach. So, there's connections there. But there's a lot of skepticism, I think, from people who look at the cornerback room. They say, well, Dante Jackson was getting burned in Carolina. So, how good can he really be? And Cameron Sutton gave up 8 touchdowns in Detroit. How good can he be? And to that, Ray, I think there's an interesting question here about what their, the difference in their roles, because when I look at what Dante Jackson did in Carolina, he had some really good years on his rookie contract. He had multiple interceptions every year up until this past season when he was kind of by de facto the number one corner for the Panthers, or the guy that was going to often pair up against number one wide receivers. They wanted guys like J.C. Horn to take that over, but it didn't work out because of injuries. And then you look at Cameron Sutton; he was paid big money to be that guy for the Lions, and neither of them lived up to that billing. But they're not going to be that for the Steelers. That's going to be Joey Porter Jr. most likely. And we talked about it. He wants to follow number one wide receivers across the field. Do you think that that's something that could really work in the Steelers' favor? Or do you think these are still going to be big matchup problems for the Steelers like they were for the Lions and the Panthers last season?
No, I think it's a good point, Chris. Let's take Cam Sutton first to begin with. The Steelers had a price in mind when he was a free agent, and they weren't going to go above that price. And I remember – when he signed that 3-year, $33 million deal with the Lions, people were surprised. He's making $11 million a year. I think the Steelers maybe had him pegged, at a different price range, maybe, $7 or $8 million. I think they were paying him about $6 million on that short 2-year deal that he was coming off of. So the point is the Steelers had a value for him. They weren't going to go above it. And I think, it's not Cam Sutton's fault. He was a product of free agency. The Lions wanted to pay him and make him a number one corner, and it didn't work out for him. But that's okay. He's going to be the number three corner for the Steelers. He's going to be their slot corner as he enters, another stage of his career. I think Cam Sutton's 28, 29 years old now, and I think he's well-suited to fit that role. Last year he was not number one corner. He was picked on, but you slide him into the slot. You could play him. It's safety. He's such a versatile player that he's really going to help your defense. The Jackson thing. Yeah. Oh, listen, Joey Porter is probably going to follow the other team's best player. So that's going to leave him in a lot of one-on-one matchups if the Steelers think he can handle that. And presumably Dante Jackson would be in a position to maybe face a lesser player, which I think could work out for him as well. So I don't know. These teams now have multiple good receivers, so it might not really work out that way, but I think...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the big picture, I think you're right. Joey Porter is that guy for the Steelers. I think Jackson and Sutton slot in very well now, being in those number two and number three roles.
That's the thing that I have about this, the potential of this secondary, is that if these guys are tasked with stopping the team's number two wide receivers, and look, there's some teams that have great number two wide receivers. Like when they face the Bengals, if T. Higgins isn't having contract battles with them in the middle of the season, like, I don't think he will have them. I think that he'll eventually, you know, come show up, play this year, and then get paid next year somewhere else. But Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, you know, T. Higgins could be a number one wide receiver for a lot of teams. Heck, T. Higgins would be the number one wide receiver for the Steelers right now, I think, you know, over George Pickens, but possibly. And that's where I think that those matchups could be interesting and could be big challenges. But not every team has a T. Higgins as their number two wide receiver. And, you know, I think that's where the Steelers' corners could be in a situation where it's like, hey, this is very much in line with what you're going up against. But also with the way that the Steelers' secondary works out right now, you know, Deshaun Elliott being added to the safety room along with Minkah Fitzpatrick and DeMonte KZ, they might have the guys to back them up there where they can say, hey, if Joey Porter Jr. can go one-on-one with opposing wide receivers and limit them, doesn't have to shut them down, but mitigate them and make them not the superstar, the rest of the defense can kind of flip over and help take away the other top options in the offense, and that can be part of the secondary. That's a lot of what Ike Taylor did for the Steelers back in the 2000s, and he's like one of the last guys that you could think of was kind of a shutdown corner for the Steelers. I know Joe Hayden had some very good years for the team, but that's where I think the goal of the Steelers needs to be right now, as far as, you know, making sure that Joey Porter Jr. can follow number one guys. But if Dante Jackson and Cam Sutton can be those guys that, you know, mitigate to take away the number two wide receiver, help and take away slot wide receivers, and then, you know, the Deshaun Elliott, Patrick Queen, and those guys can limit tight ends, this could be an elite this year, simply because they have good star players and then good role players behind them.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think a lot of it too comes down to injuries and you know, the depth of corner, right? Like, who is the top outside backup right now? I don't know if that guy's. I don't know if that guy's on the roster at this point. You know, look at last year. If you want to go to the back end of the secondary, look at how injuries really affected that group last year. I think Minkah missed what, 6 or 7 games. Keanu Neal missed 6 or 7 games. And you know, I thought Trenton Thompson was okay when he was pressed into duty. Then he gets injured. And then, like, you're in position, okay, Patrick Peterson, you got to go back and play safety. And it was just a big, you know, Terrell Austin had to do a lot of juggling back there with personnel who, you know, might not have been ready for prime time action in those positions. So, on paper, I think you're right. I think this group can certainly be better than last year, but, you know, we'll have to see how the injuries play out this year. I'm sure they're keeping their fingers crossed that they can have Minkah for a full season. I think Elliott has been fairly durable over his career. I know he's had, you know, a few injuries, but yeah, as long as those guys can stay on the field, I think that's shaping up as a pretty good unit right now for the Steelers. But as I pointed out, they do need to get a little bit more depth on the outside, I think, before they go into the season.
And look, there's a lot of people excited about Corey Trice and Darius Rush, but those guys ain't proven yet. and they're going to have to do a lot of work, and we're going to get to see more of those guys at minicamp this week. Read all of our work at the Post Gazette, going to post-gazette.com, where Ray, Brian, Jerry, our whole Steelers beat writing team, we'll be covering them day to day throughout mini camp. And then afterwards, getting you ready for training camp in late July. Ray, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to switch to talk about Pirates with Andrew Destin. Are the Pirates in the playoff race? We'll get to that in the next segment here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. But first, we have also sponsored by Moon Township Honda. Make sure you visit Moon Township Honda today at 5802 University Boulevard in Moon Township, and also online at moonhonda.com. Here's more from our sponsors.
To build the Honda CR-V hybrid, we took everything you love about the CR-V and kicked it up a notch with greater power for a CR-V unlike any before. Adventure confidently with Honda, Car and Driver's most awarded brand in 10 best history, the CR-V and CR-V hybrid. Part of the Honda line of rugged vehicles. Visit your local Honda dealer where new vehicles are arriving daily. Buy online or reserve from select Honda dealers.
Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We now switch to the Pirates, and we got Andrew Destin here with us, one of our great Pirates beat writers who covers the team. And while the Pirates did lose to the Twins on Sunday, they have now won two series in a row with their winning two out of three against the Dodgers and now two out of three against the Twins. And they're still three games back from being at 500, but they are in the thick of the wild card chase in the National League right now, only a half game back of being in the wild card. But there are about seven other teams that are right there in the thick of it with them. And I wanted to ask you, Andrew, you know, you look at this, yes, they're last in the NL Central, but is this a situation where you think they actually are, they can stay in the wild card chase? Or is this a situation where there's too many teams right now for the Pirates to be considered a real contender and they're going to fall off at some point?
Yeah, I think to extrapolate the conversation, it's that all these teams should be taken seriously as contenders right now because A, it's June, and B, it just shows the parity in the league right now. I mean, this is a comment that Ben Charrington made on Saturday talking with all of us, was that, you know, there's not many teams that are really, really struggling. There's not many teams that are really, really thriving. It's a lot of teams that are kind of in that middle of the pack range. And if you look at really the 15 teams in the National League, the four that you would really say are eliminated from playoff contention are the Rockies, the Marlins, the Mets, and maybe the Nationals. And the Nationals, I believe, are only a game or two behind the Pirates in terms of an overall record. They're at 30 and 35. The Pirates are 31 and 34. So it's like all these teams, I would really say it's only three that are out of contention. I bring that up to say that they're absolutely to be taken seriously. And I think what the Pirates have working in their favor that other teams don't is that they have legitimate reinforcements that have come along that are helping them in a, you know, serious way, the way that like a trade deadline acquisition is. Like if you look at the offense after they've called up Nick Gonzalez, like a lot of people want to talk about the Paul Skeens effect, and rightfully so, of what he's done as a pitcher. But like Nick Gonzalez has been one of the best hitters in baseball since the Pirates called him up. That has been a huge boost. And then if you look in June, Rowdy Tellez has had the best month of anybody in baseball in June, albeit through only five or six games. He's 9-for-17 with three triples and a home run. Like that's as impactful an addition as going out and getting a left-handed hitting first baseman or getting somebody like Josh Bell, who Pirates fans know well, where the Pirates were linked to him a little bit of like, oh, this is a guy who could complement Connor Joe really well and finally provide a big bat option at first base. Like if Rowdy Tellez hits like this, these are the kind of additions that take you from being a fringe team to a playoff team. Now I'm getting over my skis a little bit, but I say all that to say, they have the pieces there. I think they've got more things to be excited about than other teams. The issue is, and I'm sure we can get into this, is that the Pirates have some more sizable holes or a lack of depth relative to some other teams too, in that what we're seeing at the major league level, there's not a lot of reinforcements waiting in AAA in terms of major league level ready talent.
Well, that's what I kind of wanted to get into was because let's say that they have a legit shot at the wild card when we get to July still, and you're getting to the trade deadline and you're wondering like, okay, like, you know, what moves can they make? You know, I was talking about this on the Final Word the other night on Channel 11, but like, you know, if you're looking at it, it's not one move the Pirates need to make. It's a few moves that they're going to have to make if they want to, I think, shore up their weaknesses right now, because both their bullpen's a big problem and they have, you know, problems, you know, in their lineup. They need a bat somewhere, but you could say you could put them at first base. You could get a guy in the outfield. I think they have a lot of holes to fill, like you said, and also like you said. You know, the minors, they've called up the guys that are supposed to come and fix things. And, you know, some of those guys have impressed and the other guys are still figuring it out right now. Do you see the Pirates, a way for the Pirates to address, you know, things by the trade deadline to make it so like, hey, they're not going to be world beaters, but they can at least pull ahead of maybe get like
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Get in the front of this pack that is fighting for the wild card spot in the National League.
Yeah, and I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are the Pirates and are Ben Charrington willing to mortgage their future a little bit? Does that mean that you're going to compromise it and say, hey, one of our top minor league pitching prospects, are we willing to part ways with them? And that's a serious question, because look at what's happening at the major league level. The reason this team, let's be honest with ourselves, this team is a fringe playoff team for one reason and one reason only. They've got three homegrown arms that are up here that are competing. You've got Keller, you've got Jones, you've got Skeens. Those guys are among the best pitchers in baseball this season. All of them started here. No offense to the Pittsburgh Pirates, but probably none of them would sign here as free agents, just given that, you know, they're right. Coming up here out of the farm system. Like, that's why they're here. They're here all at the same time. I say that because if you look at the Pirates' top 10 prospects on MLB Pipeline, the vast majority of those guys are arms. And the Pirates, it's no secret that this has been the strategy, that pitching is really expensive to get on the free agent market, and it's volatile, right? Guys have arm injuries. Their performances suffer. When do you decide that one of those coveted arms, one of those prospects that you think highly of, is the guy that you need to deal to go get an MLB bat, to go get somebody who's a really serious, impactful addition, or for two or three high leverage relievers? Those are the million-dollar questions that I'm glad I'm not being asked. I'm much more in the business of talking about them. But yeah, I mean, I'll give a name out there. Braxton Ashcraft is a guy whose name was floated around before the season during spring training as a possible trade candidate. He just got called up, according to sources, you know, to AAA Indianapolis. Like, he's one step away. He's had a tremendous season, but he's also had injury history. Is he a guy that you're willing to part ways with because it brings back an impact bat that you can add to the outfield? I'm not sure how the Pirates are going to go about this. I'm not sure how Ben Charrington's going to go about this, but it's basically the conversation that I think is not going to take place until mid-July, probably for at least another month or so, of, is this a team that we believe can be a contender, not just to make the postseason, but to do damage in the postseason? I think that's the question that the Pirates are still trying to figure out over these next 5-6 weeks. And once they gain more data points, more information, and more teams either enter or leave the race, then we'll get a better idea of how they're going to proceed, or if it's going to be they're all in next year. But of course, that's a difficult question, because how can you waste the seasons that you're getting from Keller, Jones, and Skeens?
And that's my big thing. And not only how can you waste, but there is a level of anxiety from fans that are just like, look,
yeah,
we want something. And this is the Pirates we're talking about. This isn't the Steelers or the Penguins, who have brought the city success or championships in URI's lifetime. Like, this is the Pirates who, as a person who grew up in Pittsburgh, in my adult watching sports life, there have been three relevant seasons out of my 35 years of being on this earth that the Pirates, well, I guess I was born in the late 80s, so like the early 90s happened, but I wasn't able to like watch those with Barry Bonds and those guys. But to me, this is like this is the sense where how much does the press on Charrington, on Nutting, and on their staff be like, hey, we got to strike now, we got to do something now to appease our fans, to take a shot. How much does that weigh into this? Because like you said, if they give up a guy who can help them maybe 2-3 years down the line, where we look at the Pirates, that might be part of their window. That's a tougher decision than I think it is for people who might look at this and say, just pull the trigger. You don't get this chance all the time. And it's like, well, do you pull the trigger now, or do you wait till next year or the year after, when it's like, hey, these are the golden years to strike for Skeens and Jones before they most likely go and sign somewhere else, because they're the major pitching guys on your team that could be signed off, and you might not be able to afford them, like you haven't been able to afford Gerrit Cole and other big arms.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly the conversation, and why it's such an interesting one is that I'll just throw out the names there: Bubba Chandler, Anthony Solomito, Thomas Harrington, Braxton Ashcraft. Those four are among the six top prospects in the Pirates farm system. Theoretically, at least two or three of those guys could be in your rotation come 2026. That's only 2 years down the line, and that's when you might be looking at a rotation that still has Keller, Jones, and Skeens, but that might be like the last year of all those three guys being together, or they might have one more year together. So I think the question we're asking ourselves is this Pirates team, is this franchise, the way that they've built up the rebuild, is this the beginning of a three-year stretch of this is the push for the postseason, the way that 2013, 14, 15 were? Or is this the beginning of sustained, legitimate success of competing in the National League Central for many, many years? And you have this pipeline, this farm system, similar to other successful franchises over the last decade or so, where you don't want to tap into it too much, because then you might be shortening its shelf life. That's the question. I think we're going to get a better answer to it over the next 5-6 weeks, depending on what this team shows us. It's a hockey term, but I think it's an apt one to use here, is that when they talk about trade deadlines, Barry Trotz, who's the GM for the Nashville Predators, used to always say, you know, let the team show us what we're going to do at the deadline. I think that's a fair one to use for this Pirates team. Either this year is the beginning of it, or it's pump the brakes, we'll reevaluate over the offseason, retool the team, and proceed accordingly for the next steps.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Read all of Andrew's work, as well as all of our writers' work here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, by going to post-gazette.com. Subscribe to the Post-Gazette. Subscribe to this podcast channel at Post-Gazette Sports on your favorite podcasting app, or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Again, I'm Chris Carter. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you to Ray Fittipaldo for joining as well. We're back Wednesday with another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.